Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the playing of our national anthem.
Baseball fans, you're listening to Babes, Babes.
Shane, welcome to Babes, Babes. Thank you so much for joining us for our seventh episode. We are so excited to talk with you about the Sandlot.
We promise it's a pleasure. Thank you guys for doing this and inviting me on. It's very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, the pleasure is ours. So I was telling the girls earlier that I watch The Sandlot every 4th of July. It's like a tradition. It's been a big hit in my family, at least. I think I was about 4 when it came out. So
you're keeping it alive. That's awesome. That's how it's become whatever it's become. I don't know how to describe it, but it's those things. Thanks. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, thank you. I certainly think it helped elevate my love for the game.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, baseball is not just about baseball and throwing the ball around. It's about all the other stuff behind the scenes. That's why the movie is so cool. I tell people it's not even a baseball movie sometimes. It's just like Friends and there's baseball going on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's like used as an outlet to tell the story, for sure.
Absolutely. So we have, I know, a lot of questions for you about the movie, what you've been up to since you filmed the movie, what your plans are moving forward. And so before we sort of move into that, how we start every episode is with what we call Around the Horn. So I'll kick that off to Kelsey, and she's going to ask all of us an icebreaker question.
So I thought it might be fun to really get into character, get to know each other a little bit today by going around the horn and telling which Sandlot character that you personally most identify with. So, Jonna, I know it's your favorite baseball movie of all time. Is there one character from that movie that reminds you most of yourself or that you can relate with the most?
I think... I don't know if my family would agree with this, but just because my ego when I was little, like I played sports from such a very young age and my dad always coached me too. And so I think I always thought I was like a little bit better than I actually was, which like not that Benny didn't live up to his hype, but I would say probably as a kid, I identified most with Benny.
Wrong. All right.
Interesting. Madison, what about you?
I was going to say the same, Benny the Jet Rodriguez, because but not even for like a baseball reason, just like the way he was toward everyone, like so welcoming and like sweet and just like, just raised right. And I think I'm like that.
Like to think that. Yeah. I was too.
That sounded so much more like cocky than I wanted it to.
I know what you meant. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Okay. That's strong too. That's good.
All right, Shane, obviously like you actually portrayed one of these characters, but is it the character that you played or was there another one that maybe you more personally identify with?
When I was that age, I'm going to say the character I played, the director, we had like, I don't remember the exact amount, hundreds of kids. I'm not exaggerating. They narrowed us down one by one. And we all went to LA to the Sportsman's Lodge, and we'd wake up every morning and they'd team us up with different groups of kids to see who's friendly and who really was the character they were looking for. So back then, I'm going to say I was actually the character I got cast in because they did such a good job of finding out who was who. Now, I thought about it when you brought it up. Now I'm going to say Squints. And that's weird to even say out loud. I've never thought of it before, but he was oddly confident for no good reason, and he was oddly cool again for no good reason. And that's kind of how maybe I feel now. Like, everything's just kind of okay. And he was a weird little leader and nice. And I don't know. I feel like Madison now because I said it all. And now I feel weird.
I'll make you feel better because I was going to say, I'm actually glad that Madison said what she said because I was also going to say Benny. But because I'm also an oldest child like Madison, and I think I get this from my mom, who is also an oldest child. So I'm like more like giving the credit to her, not trying to say like, I'm so great, but I, from the aspect of like him making everyone feel included and, you know, like being the leader, I didn't play sports as a kid, but I was always trying to get my siblings or my little cousins to like be in whatever show I wanted to put on. So I very much connected with him when I saw it. That's so interesting that like you've grown into a different character though.
I think so. I mean, I've never been asked that before. So that's where I mean, that's a great question. I'm going to think about that all night now. Like who am I? Who am I?
I know. Now I'm like
different every day.
Guessing myself like, okay, maybe I'm not Benny.
This got existential really quick. This is deep now.
Wow. Yeah. All right, Madison, let's lighten it back up.
I'll kick it off with a more simple question. So how did you get into acting?
My first job, I was 3 years old. I did a Kool-Aid commercial. And back in the old days, like you would go to the mall and the mall would have like shows, like cheerleaders or like magic shows, like in the food court. And there was a Garfield magic show. And they asked for someone who was 8 or 10 years of age to come up and do a magic trick. And my mom says I went on stage and made Garfield do the magic trick with me. And she was like, oh, maybe he's supposed to do something like this. And then a year later, not even a year, months later, I had a Kool-Aid commercial. And that's kind of what started this whole thing.
That's incredible. So I saw that you were in My Girl, which I had no idea. Yes. That was another one of my favorites growing up.
Same. Oh, yeah. That was a good, sad movie, too. And Macaulay with the beat. Yeah.
Yeah, very
sad.
So your mom just knew that you were born to be a star. I love that.
But, maybe. Mothers have that good intuition.
They do.
I'm lucky to have a strong mother behind me. So, yeah, she helps me out with everything. So, yeah, it's great.
So you mentioned that the audition was like, it was quite a process, it sounds like. And even after you auditioned, maybe they took some time to actually pick what character you were going to play, which is probably unlike a lot of other auditions. So tell us about that. Like, what was it like?
Very much unlike any auditions I've ever been on. And a lot of the boys say the same thing. I actually tried out for it in Miami. Back in the days, we would have fax machines and whatnot. So we drove to Miami, about a 4-hour drive, did the audition, drove back home. Had a fax waiting for us that I got a call back. So we went right back to Miami the next day, did the call back, went home. I never heard anything. I thought I didn't get it. I moved on. 2 or 3 weeks later, I get a phone call that says, tomorrow you're going to California. We are going to hook you up with some of the casting guys and see what we can do. So that's when I went to the Sportsman's Lodge. And there was, as I said, literally hundreds of kids there. And every day we would play different characters. We would read as different people. I read as Smalls at one point. Bertram read at Smalls, or read for Squints at one point. They would just mix us up every day and see who was, you know, clicked as friends and who clicked with what characters and whatnot. And then every day you would wake up and there'd be kids gone. And that went on for like a week. And as it went from hundreds to 50 to 10 to 9. And then we woke up one day and there was 9 of us and they said, cool, this is our crew.
We got a team.
Yeah. So it was very, very weird. And that's kind of why I think we say the movie works so well. Like people relate to it so much is because they actually found kids that were friends that were genuine. And that I think really kind of portrays on the screen too.
So, oh, definitely.
They did a good job. They did a good job. And we got lucky.
That makes so much sense because the people are everything, right? And the way the people work together, like that's absolutely what is so compelling about the movie.
Sure. Yeah. And so before we segue into another question, I have another one to tag on to that. So I'm just curious, how does that work? Like, did they pull you out of school? Like all of you out of school for like, how long did it take you to film?
The filming was 45 days in Utah. It was for the summer. There were certain things we have to do for, I don't even remember exactly what you'd call it, but we would have school during the day for like an hour in a trailer with someone for some kind of laws for child actors and whatnot. Yeah. For the casting process, I don't remember any of that. I think we just went to the Sportsman's Lodge and skipped school for 2 weeks or whatever it was. But when we were filming, we had to do some sort of schooling.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
That's the biz.
It is. It's weird. Yeah. Everything I've done when I was a kid, at some point, if you work for X amount of hours, you have to do an hour or whatever of school. So there's always like a teacher on set and you go into a trailer and go to school for a bit. I don't know. It's weird.
Since you start auditioning as a kid, like I acted, I'm a stage actor, not a screen actor, but I have been, I never auditioned really professionally until I was an adult. So I can't imagine, like, as a kid, did you like have to work through that process of like the rejection of it, of knowing that like you can show up and you can do everything perfectly and it, there's so much of it that's just not in your control? Or were you like less aware of that because you were a kid?
It's both extremes of what you just said. I was totally less aware, but then every now and then, if there was a job that I had callbacks for, and then a couple weeks later, I would see the commercial on TV or a trailer for the movie or something, and I knew that that was the character I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I would get really sad. There was a Hershey's chocolate syrup commercial when I was a kid, and it came down to me and another curly-haired redhead kid, and I didn't get the part and forgot about it. And then like a month later, I knew the kid personally. I saw it on TV and with him in it. And I remember I ran into my room and I cried and cried and cried. Oh. But I was 8 years old.
I think you won in the end.
thank you. I think I did too.
Okay. So did you guys have to, did you play baseball before or after the movie? Did you have to do any like training on it before you filmed?
Once we got cast, we went to Utah. And we had a baseball coach a week or so. We would play baseball every day and kind of learn what to do. And they wanted us to look like they already made us friends. So then they wanted us to look like we actually knew what we were doing. So we baseball camp for a week or so. And, you know, in the flashback scene where the guy says forever, you know, the older guy with the cop hat,
mm-hmm.
That was our baseball coach.
No way.
So he taught us 2 weeks of baseball, and then he ended up getting in the movie as the famous forever big lip scene part.
Yeah. Squint's grandpa, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. These are the little things like we have no idea.
It's weird how it works and things finagle. I don't know. It's awesome. Yeah.
Very cool.
I just want to apologize, actually, for, I don't know if you guys have noticed all the flashing going on here.
Is the paparazzi at your house, Madison?
Apparently.
She has the game on and it's like flashing. Yep.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really slow strobe light, so I thought you were partying, so it's all good.
I am, I guess. I didn't realize my lighting here is just a little distracting, but at least for me. I wanted to make sure. Thanks. So, next question. What was your favorite scene to film?
Anything with the treehouse. Like, the treehouse was fully functioning. It was as real as it could be. So, that was also the place whenever we weren't filming, we would all go, like, hide out and play in and be, you know, kids in the summertime. And then they'd have to run and go find us, and we're playing in the treehouse. So whenever I see those scenes in the movie, I think of all the crazy memories we had in there just being kids when we weren't even filming. So treehouse holds a good place in my heart for sure.
Did you guys actually do like a sleepover camp out in there?
No, we didn't, but we should have. That would have been awesome. Dang, that's a good idea.
I know. Now maybe reunion tour.
Well, I mean, we're going back there the end of the summer.
There you go.
Oh, wait. I wasn't supposed to.
Spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler. We'll get to
Well, that. You guys got the breaking deal because it hasn't been announced yet. So I won't say it again.
Wow.
But if, yeah, we're going back there at the end of the summer.
Were there any other particular memories that you have in mind of, like, with all the kids on set all the time, like, ever getting into trouble or, you know, how you would spend time when the cameras weren't rolling?
The pool scene, there was a lot of us just running around being stupid. It was filmed in Utah during the summertime, so it was very, very hot. And we were always looking forward to the pool scene because it was hot. And the story is, and it's kind of become famous now, some weird weather front came through, and the day of the pool day, it was like 50 degrees. So the pool was freezing. So if you actually look at some of the scenes in the background, our teeth are actually chattering because we're in this 45 degree water. So when we get out, they immediately rushed us, covered us with towels and whatnot. So when we weren't filming, we were just literally running around with towels being, you can imagine what stupid boys were doing. just being dumb. And those were cool memories too. Just us having fun there.
And now that you say that, I remember, like, as Wendy pulls Squints out of the pool and she's like leading him out, I feel like I remember him, like.
Oh yeah. And he talks about that sometimes too. He's not really acting there. Like he's actually cold. We're all cold. It was just the one day we wanted to be in the pool to be cool was the coldest day of the summer.
Oh, that's terrible. Because it's funny, because in the movie, it's like you have to quit playing baseball because it's so hot that day, right?
Exactly. That's exactly why. And we go.
So
and
funny.
Freeze. Yeah. the magic of the movies.
Do you have a favorite baseball team then?
I say the Rays because I live here. It's hard to be a Rays fan. Maybe not right now, I guess. It's tough to live in Tampa and be a Rays fan. For real, I'm going to say the Dodgers, but it's not for the history, not for the whatever, because personally, they've been so good to us over the years. Whenever we're in LA, they'll do Sandlot Days. We film a documentary there. The end of the movie takes place at Dodger Stadium. So there's a weird, like, Dodger connection in my heart, but not because of the team, just because of the connection with the movie and the Dodger fans of, I don't want to say more than any other baseball fan base in the league, but the Dodger fans love the Sandlot.
Yeah.
And they really treat us well over there. And I've always think of them, how nice they are to us.
Did you guys ever get to meet Vin Scully?
I did not. I'm sure some of the boys did. But me being an East Coaster, they got to spend a lot more time doing that kind of stuff, hanging out there, than me.
All right. Well, that's a sweet reason to like the Dodgers. So I'll allow it.
Girls, you guys will have to watch this. They did a Sandlot reunion Zoom call with Justin Turner and his wife, Courtney.
That was cute.
Amazing. And they brought in all kinds of people. It was really fun to watch. So
it was awesome to film that too. I filmed that right here, actually. Yeah, it was awesome. Justin Turner is now he's a Boston guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Turner's incredible. Almost more off the field than he is on the field.
He's
just a great person.
We've talked about him a little bit, quite a bit actually on here, and what a good guy he is. So
One of my friend's mothers is a huge Dodgers fan, and she calls Justin Turner the Red Dream. She's like so sad that he's not in the Dodgers anymore.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what I always think of when I'm talking about Justin
Turner. The Red Dream.
So actually your setup very much alludes to my next question, but I know that you are also a musician and music is a big passion of yours, man of many talents. So you were in a band for a period of time, yes? And music is a passion of yours. What is your instrument? I feel like I could guess now, but...
Yeah, drums is the main thing. There's guitars back here and I play a little piano, a little guitar, but drums is the main thing. When I started getting in my teens, your voice changes, you know, there's not a lot of work for you as you're going through the change. So I didn't get a lot of acting gigs then. So I focused on music, and I had a little bit of success with, you know, the bands and whatnot through my late teens to mid to late 20s. And that's kind of where I put my heart for a little bit. It's still there, but I don't play out anymore necessarily.
What's your favorite type of music?
Just rock and roll. I mean, when I'm playing my own original band stuff, it's a little more harder rock and roll. But if I'm doing covers, jamming at the bar or whatever, it's, you know, top 40 or classic rock, you know.
I'm a stage actor and I play the marching snare drum. So I feel like I'm like the nerdy, the way less cool version of you. But we have, you know, stage acting and drumming.
Yeah.
We're kind of the same.
So this next question is not about music. We're going back to the movie. Okay. So how many times, or, well, I guess you don't know the exact amount, but do you rewatch the movie a lot?
Just notch it on your wall every time you watch it.
I don't know how many times I've seen it, but I know for sure it's less than 15.
Okay.
And the reason is because we go to a lot of events or Sandlot screening nights, and the movie's playing in the background. So if you want to count that, hundreds, like literally maybe thousands. But I don't pay attention, and I don't know the last time I've sat down and seen it from beginning to end. I'll be done doing a Q&A, and I go back in the room and the movie's halfway over. So then I'll catch 10 minutes and we'll have to go leave or get in the bus or something. So all the way through, I don't know, less than 15 times for sure. Not that much. You've probably seen it.
Probably.
That's pretty cool. Okay. I was going to take a wild guess that I've seen it several more times than you, but I think that's pretty common among actors. And,
oh yeah.
Right? Like, you don't watch your films. Like,
there's one movie I did, I haven't even seen it before. It's, man, what's it called? You feel weird seeing it sometimes, because if it's not the way you think here, it can play on you. So sometimes you just kind of stay away from your work to hopefully make you better, I guess. I'm not sure the process on that. Everyone might have a different process. I don't know.
That is interesting, because yeah, in film, I mean, it can turn out so different than I can't even imagine. Than like
what most of the time, whatever you think, however you think it's going, it's not going to play out.
Yeah.
And that I don't want to say disappointment, but that personal, you know, twist is hard to navigate sometimes.
Yeah. You can have a really different experience with it, and maybe you just want to leave it how it was.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's fair. So did you guys have any baseball players that assisted with the filming? And you said you had a coach, but I didn't know if you had any.
As far as any like pro players or anything, no. I know, I'm gonna draw a blank on his name, Lasorda. I know he worked with
Tony Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda?
Yeah, Tommy Lasorda.
Okay. I know he worked with the director to get approval for them to film the end at Dodger Stadium. But as far as that, no. I don't even know if any baseball players really knew what we were doing. And if they did, I just don't know if they cared. You know, in the 90s, and there was kind of a lot of baseball movies in the 90s, and some of them were great. Some of them we forgot about, and that's okay.
Well, I will never forget the Sandlot. It'll live on forever.
Well, thank you. That's
in my heart.
Yeah. Obviously we know the answer to this one, but we want you to elaborate more on it. So the question is, do you keep in touch with some of your cast members?
When I say every day, that is an understatement. We have a really good group chat, all of us, that we are involved with every day in some weird form. And it is one day when we're all not worried about the media anymore. We're going to print it out and sell it as a book, because there's a lot of really fun stuff in there. But yeah, we talk literally every day. And myself, Victor, who played my older brother, and Grant, who played Bertram. We're a part of a nonprofit charity right now called the Play Forever Project. So the three of us, besides talking with the group and all the, you know, all that, we work together to work on this nonprofit charity to help kids. So we're always in each other's business, and we see each other like every other week somewhere. So
are they near you? Are they on the East Coast as well?
Everyone is LA. Grant is Nashville, and Tom, who played Smalls, is in the Carolinas.
Okay.
Everyone else is East Coast, or I'm sorry, West Coast, California.
Well, you are there in like the just outside of Tampa, right? And I heard another interview that you did where you were talking about how you own a pizza shop in that area. And I just thought that was so cool because you've got your own little business. And again, a man of many talents. You're also a business owner. Tell us about how you got into owning a pizza shop and what you enjoy about it.
It's weird. When I didn't get any jobs for acting in my teen change years, I got a job delivering pizza. And that turned into like this thing where I thought, not just say pizza was cool, because that sounds ridiculous, but pizza is cool. But you learn, I thought it was fascinating. The dough, the cooking, the ovens, all that stuff. So while I was doing the band stuff, I paid attention to all those dudes, and they taught me how to do all this pizza stuff. And then a friend of mine from Philadelphia, who had opened a bunch of stores up there, came down here and was like, hey, you want to do our own store? And I was like, yeah, why not? And yeah, that was this August will be 13 years that we've had the business.
Wow.
Congrats. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a weird journey, but it's really fun. It's awesome.
What is your favorite pizza to make or to get from your pizza shop?
I mean, for me, it's olives, chicken, and like feta cheese or goat cheese. Ooh, I love that stuff. People are creatures of habit when it comes to their pizza. They just want pepperoni or simple stuff. People don't get as creative as I wish they would. When a fun order comes through, we all get excited, like, cool, let's make this one special. These people care. But yeah, people aren't as creative, or at least not in my area, as I wish they were.
And what's the town called that you're actually in?
Brandon.
Right
outside of Tampa.
Called Times Square Pizza.
Times Square Pizza Company. We're in the middle of a name change right now, so there'll be a big announcement on that as well. We got some big plans coming up, but all that stuff is...
We'll have to visit if we come down for spring training.
Yeah, please do. That'd be fantastic. I'll take care of you guys. Free pizza, and we'll go to the game. Be awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Let's do it. I love that. Can't wait. I'm already looking forward to next spring training and the beginning of the baseball season. So our next question is, we know the 30th anniversary. Well, we know it is the 30th anniversary this year of the Sandlot. So can you tell us a little bit about the, what would you call it, reunion that you and the guys are heading out?
We, things went a little bit differently as we hoped for this year. And we kind of got that news a couple months ago. But we are pretty much doing it all on our own with our agents. And we've all got at least 10 or 12 different appearances between now and like mid-July. And we're kind of going to be everywhere. There's a couple big ones. We're going to be at Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame induction.
That's amazing.
And the Sandlot's already in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but we've actually never been there, like, to see it, or we weren't there for the induction or whatever.
How does that work? They don't invite the cast when they induct you into the Hall of Fame?
I honestly didn't know about it till it was done. They were like, hey, how'd that thing go? And I was like, what? And they were like, oh, you got inducted. I'm like, I did? but yeah, I think we're going to try to make that like a cool little thing. So we're all going to be there for that. And the coolest thing this year is there's a big sports collectible show in Chicago called The National. And that is the last weekend of July. And there's a event that I accidentally spoiled earlier in Utah a week later. So what we're going to do is we're going to that event, and we have a documentary crew, and we're going to document us with our fans and that experience at the National. And then we're going to road trip through like five states, Colorado, Wyoming, whatever else.
Hello, Nebraska.
Don't skip Nebraska.
I actually think that's there. And
so if you want to stop in Omaha, home of the College World Series.
That's the home of Saddle Creek too, right? Saddle Creek's still a big thing there?
Yeah.
And then we're going to document the whole road trip and everything and end it at the Sandlot where we filmed it. And that'll come out next year sometime. I don't know when, but.
And do you know if that'll be Netflix or like what that'll be on?
If we had our dream, it would be on Disney Plus, because that's kind of who owns Sandlot now, because that whole merger thing. There is some weird behind the scenes stuff going on with both the rights and our Sandlot TV show. So whoever picks it up will put it out. So whoever buys it, I don't care who.
Very cool. I can't wait to see it.
My favorite part of maybe the entire movie, honestly, is all of your guys' facial expressions, but particularly yours. Like, I don't know how they got you to make so many iconic facial expressions throughout that movie, but they are great. So personal request, if you could just like make all those facial expressions in every state as you drive across the country.
I'll do it as I cross the border. I'll do them in front of the sign that says welcome to Nebraska.
Perfect.
Every state, I want you to get Timmy to say, shut up, Tommy.
He actually says it regularly anyway, so it's perfect.
Perfect. Well, so you mentioned Sandlot TV show, which I did not know about until I was doing a little research. So you guys are going to be filming a TV show, is that right?
Right before COVID hit, like a couple months, we all went out to LA and we sat in the big studios and we did a table read and went over the whole show with the directors and the writers and the producers and everything. And they said, this is going to be incredible. And we looked at the script and we're all half in tears and we're like, this is incredible. And then COVID hit and everything went to some weird way. I keep hearing that we're going to pick it up. It's going to start filming here. It's going to start filming there. It was originally supposed to start filming like right now to come out this summer, and now it's gotten pushed back again. So we are literally just sitting here waiting, and we can't wait to do it. I don't know when it's going to happen, but everyone keeps saying it's happening.
And is it true it's set in the 80s? So that would be about the time, because the movie was in the 60s, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd be like about the time you all became parents.
It's late 80s. I believe the year we were shooting for was 87.
Okay.
And it would be us and our kids. And I can't say much about it, but it's us and our kids and there's Sandlot.
So. Well, that's incredibly exciting to me.
The script is intensely better than I could have imagined. And I could only imagine the fans of the film who have a different view of the film than I do will love it. More than I could, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be worth waiting for sure. So
thank you.
We will keep waiting. is there anything for you, like, as I mean, actor, business owner, musician, is there any like kind of dream gig or project that you would really love to ultimately fulfill that's like on your bucket list?
Ooh, that's a fantastic question. There's one that I hate talking in spoilers, but there's one that we're actually working on right now that probably won't happen, but I can't say it for legal reasons, but it would be the biggest, and it's Sandlot related, but it is the biggest, most impactful project I've ever been involved with. And I'm happy to tell you guys off recording, but I can't say it, but it is so intensely good. Besides that, right now, everything is so busy and also so clear in a weird way. And it's never really like that. So at the moment we all have different projects and different forms of completion. And it's a really good place to be at. So I hope this continues in a weird way, and we can continue to make more projects and bigger projects and just continue to keep this as impactful as possible, especially with the charity Play Forever project we started. We're really trying to help out a lot of kids who are underprivileged, and this is a really cool way to achieve those goals, and that hopefully will last longer than we'll be around for. Hopefully that's a forever kind of thing. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you for doing that work. It's amazing. I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, whenever you guys want, you know.
Very cool. Well, it seems like with all these reunions, since you had like the 20th, the 25th, and now the 30th, it seems like the trajectory seems to be like you guys are getting together more often and you're doing more things. So that's really awesome for us kids that grew up loving and watching nonstop.
It's a lot of fun. And the best thing about it is when we go out, there's all ages. There's the kids. I'm sorry, the kids, the parents, the adults now who are our age, and they've introduced their kids to it. So to them, it's like a new movie and they love it. And the parents have a special connection with it. So it's literally generational. So when we go out, we get to meet fans who are 6 years old to 60 years old.
Yeah,
and that is just very humbling that so many people have appreciated and loved that silly film we did. And it's meant so much to people. So it's very cool to be a part of that.
We have certainly passed it on to the next generation in my family. My niece and nephew, we were like, they're going to be Sandlot fans. And then my niece ended up like wearing the Beast t-shirts and kinds of things. Nice. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Did that relationship with the dog in the movie, like, affect how you feel about dogs? That's like the first thing I thought about it. I was like, God, all these kids are probably terrified of dogs.
The opposite almost. There was actually three dogs to film that movie. There was one who was the biggest for the close-ups. There was one who was the smallest for the running. All that stuff. So all the dogs, obviously they were trained, but they were the sweetest dogs. They're just big, goofy humans, you know? And they were awesome. If anything, those puppets, those fake puppet dogs that were scary that they made, those were the ones that were weird. They would like have them on poles and they would make their mouth moves when no one was around. It was creepy. Yeah,
I wondered if you all be actually built like a little bit of a bond with the dogs.
Not enough. I love dogs, so yeah, I could have hung out with them all the time, but they're only there for like 2 days, maybe three, but they were in and out. So
they seemed comfortable with you all. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they could have eaten us, but they didn't.
Do you still talk to, do any of you guys still talk to Wendy? Well, I know that's not her name. Really.
I know what you mean. Not regularly. Every couple years, she doesn't do a lot of, she still acts regularly and does a lot of great work, but she doesn't do a lot of conventions or anything like that. So every couple of years, they'll try to get everyone together, and she'll go to those things, and those are extra special because we always see the eight of us all the time. So it's nice, but it's not special. But when we all get together, you know, it's very, very cool. Especially before he passed, Art LaFleur, the Babe, we were with him for the 25th. He got to celebrate that with us. Cool. And we hadn't seen him since we filmed. And that was just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So that was really grateful for that. So it's always nice when we get together.
That's awesome. That's
amazing. Oh, was that Squints' first kiss then?
You know, he says it was, but Chauncey is a cool kid, man. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't. He's the real deal. So.
Oh man. Well, I mean, we could turn it over to you if you have any questions for us.
I do, because I heard that you guys are, you know, well, some of you always watch The Sandlot, and you guys said you're big Sandlot fans. So I actually have a little Sandlot trivia thing. It's like five questions. I don't think it's too hard, but but maybe it is. Two of them I think are a little tricky. All right, are you guys ready?
Let's go. Let's go for it.
You just like shout them out, like whoever.
Yeah, whoever knows it, says that. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
What was the original title of the film before it was called The Sandlot? This is one of the harder ones because not everyone knows there was an original title.
I didn't know there was an original title.
It was originally called The Boys of Summer.
Oh,
now that you say that, I feel like I've heard that before.
It's one of those things that gets talked about. Song?
Exactly.
The Boys of Summer.
Yeah.
And I believe that was some of the reasoning that we couldn't, or they couldn't name it that. There were some rights and whatnot. So
Don Henley was like, it's taken.
Basically, yeah. when Smalls gets hit in the face with the baseball and gets a black eye, what does his father use to stop the swelling?
A steak. A big old slab of meat. Which is so funny to me because it doesn't even look frozen, but also like you would never just slap a big old piece of meat on it. Like, don't you have a bag of peas?
It's just, it's very dramatic. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. All right. Everyone talks about Sandlot being so quotable. So if you know it, finish this quote. You bob for apples in the toilet.
And you like it.
You like it.
Okay. Wait, good. Who said that?
Pam.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm glad you answered that before me because I was like, no way, who did say that? All right. The dog chase scene. The dog at one point, we run through a movie theater and there's a movie playing. And the dog jumps through the screen to go after Benny. What creature was on the screen when he jumped through the screen? They were playing an old horror movie. It's all right. That was the other one that was kind of tricky.
Like the black.
Is it like a werewolf?
Werewolf.
A werewolf.
Yeah.
You're killing this.
I could tell you from your face. I was like, she can see this in her mind.
Yeah, I can. I'm like, right after that, they go through the park and they like the guy on the stilts is like, look.
The cake. Well, yeah.
The cake.
And this one was specifically made in my head because of the name of your podcast. So when Benny's having a dream and Babe Ruth appears in the dream, he walks out of a room into Benny's room. What room does he walk out of to enter Benny's room?
The closet.
Okay. I've asked that. It's a weird question. I just thought it was fun.
Yeah, that's almost it. A trick question.
A little bit.
Good one, girls.
Okay, but on that note, I have to admit to all of you and my listeners that when I was convinced when The Sandlot came out that if I wrote a letter to Babe Ruth, he would visit me in a dream in the same way that it happens in The Sandlot. And so I did that. And my brother, who was like 11 at the time, was so sweet and like wrote me a letter back and like ran outside and like dropped it on our front step. And we were watching the Yankees when this was happening. Like it was like during the playoffs. And my dad saw him do that. And my brother got in trouble for like ruining the moment. But like how sweet of him.
That is super sweet.
I know. So you guys inspired a lot in young Jonna.
Well, that's awesome. That's a good story. Thank you. That's very sweet.
Bringing families together. Oh,
we're trying.
What a good brother.
Yeah, good job on the trivia quiz. Well done. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for bringing the questions. That was a lot of fun. Do you have any other questions for us, like anything?
Is it 7 episodes in?
Yes.
You have any other cool guests on, or any other guests?
You're the coolest. No, don't tell our other guests. No, we had we've had two Johns on as guests so far. So we had John Kovac, who help curate the Women in Baseball exhibit at the Reds Hall of Fame Museum. So that was really cool. And he just has a huge history and has had a big impact advocating for women in the sport. So that was really neat. And our other John was a really big Reds fan because I don't know if you know, but you know, John and Madison are Yankees fans and I'm a Cardinals fan and we're used to winning, but we haven't been winning as much as we like to win this season. So we had our friend John, who is a Reds fan, come on and tell us how to be good fans even while you're losing. So
well, that is a good lesson for sure.
Exactly. So if you haven't listened to those episodes yet, definitely worth heading back to check out. I think that was episode 2 and episode 6.
Yeah. And then so our next guest is actually a children's book author. He wrote a book and it's called Yes, Pepper, You Can, or Girls Can Play Baseball Too. And he wrote it for his daughters who like inquired when they were little if they could play baseball. And he's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. So he decided to write a book about it. And so he's been, he has been on like ESPN and MLB Network. So really excited to have him.
That's a cool book idea. That's smart. I like A League of Their Own style, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah.
We, four or five years ago, we went to the Field of Dreams and did like a celebrity baseball game. It was us, a bunch of Hall of Famers, and the cast of League of Their Own.
Oh, wow.
So they put us on, like split us up on teams. Like my team had like Lori Petty and Wade Boggs and whatnot. And then it was a lot of fun.
The Chicken Man.
Yep, the Chicken Man. He lives in Tampa too. We talk every now and then. He's a great guy to hang out with. He's something else.
We interact on Twitter a little bit.
You and Wade?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's awesome. He really is.
It's funny that one of the big moments of the movie that sticks out to me is when y'all are going head to head with your rival team.
Oh, those
and
kids.
The biggest diss is you play like a girl.
Well, it's funny you say that because I'll say this, no problem. But there's a little bit of a throwback to that in the new script for the show, because nowadays it's almost not the right way to say it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Totally different take on it.
Yeah. So we're definitely addressing that. And I think that's very cool because it's really anyone's game. Doesn't matter who you are. Just go out and play sports and have fun.
Yeah. But besides that, it is amazing how the story, I mean, just transcends time. It really does. And that's why, like you said, like people who saw it for the first time when they were 30 are now showing it to their grandkids, and us who saw it as toddlers are, you know, can't wait to introduce it to our nieces and nephews and future children. And cause it's just, you know, it stands the test of time.
It's,
all the way.
It's extra weird. Cause we talked about this recently. It takes place in what, 67, I think. So it's almost a time
62.
That no one
62.
Really 62. I'm sorry. That's right. 25 years later, 87. Yeah. I should have asked that as a trivia question. You would have been, yeah. On that. But not many people, I hate to sound morbid, but are from that 62 are still kicking it today. So the people who see the movie don't relate to it as they've lived that life.
Right.
So everyone is, it's like a new world to people. So I feel like we were saying how that actually helped people connect to it because it's a part of their life that they were never around for. It was simply from them just sports and friendship. It didn't matter what was going on in the background. The kids didn't go to the mall and then people would watch it and relate to it. Oh, I go to the mall with my friends. You know, they did stuff that people don't do anymore.
Yeah.
So it's relatable on a different level because it's more simple, you know?
Yeah. It definitely brings that nostalgia and kind of the, like, just the desire to go back to those simpler times. And yeah. It's special. There's that meme, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it's the picture of you guys when you were little, like the most like famous picture that floats around.
Well, I'll stand in there. Yeah. And I'm
yeah,
I'm sure.
And it says something like all of us at some point went outside and played with our friends for the last time ever, and we didn't know it. Like, we didn't know that would be the last time. And I was, and it just like gets me every time. That is true.
That is absolutely true. And I've seen that before now that you say it. And the first time I saw it, I was like, oh man, that hits. And then I'm like, I'm also in this meme. How is this, man, what happened? What is, yeah, it's very powerful. So.
All right. My last question is, you know, the actor. This is a better question. Well, maybe we'll turn it to something exciting. So obviously the actor who played Ham is in this commercial with Mike Trout. So my question is, when is your commercial with Shohei Ohtani coming out?
Shohei Ohtani.
I mean, I only assume it'll be with him, or is it with someone else? Is that the big spoiler that you can't tell us about?
Oh no, but now I'm going to contact Shohei Ohtani and see if we want to do a commercial. No, we're always working on different ideas for commercials and whatnot. And a lot of them honestly don't take. So I wish we could do all the ideas we try, but there'll be some cool stuff coming out. But yes, I can't wait.
Well, we wish you all the luck in the world with, you know, everything that you have coming up. And we
thank you.
Appreciate you coming on. It's been so much fun. Like, this is like a dream come true for me.
Thanks, guys. You guys do a great job. It's a lot of fun. I appreciate you inviting me, and this is it's a pleasure. Thank you all.
Yeah, when you put out your text thread as a book, let us know, because we're going to include the text thread of when Jonna told us that you were coming on the podcast, because that's a good little freak out moment.
I can't wait to, I'll add that in the whole book as like a fan section.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some odd fan texts as well. So it's going to be great. Thank you guys so much.
Have a blast this summer, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you so much. And we will see you all next time.